The name of the podcast is Steve Bartlett. I'm going to reach out to you and ask for your official permission.
The Diary of a Founder.
I think we'll, just like any startup, we'll probably figure it out if we're on the journey. If you're a founder, if you don't have that video in multiple languages by default, what are you doing?
Boil down your takeaways for founders. Mm. What have you learned?
It's a journey, and no journey is a straight path. Right? You have a mental health routine or regime. Mm. It's an up and down journey. It's not just left and right. It's up and it's down. Having a mental health regime is going to be key to your survival or your longevity because every penny saved is potentially a dollar earned. I might coin that. And then you see the quality and you're like, okay, maybe not doomed. No disrespect because we are a YouTube partner now.
As a founder, starting something like this, what's your two-sentence recommendation?
Be shameless.
Be shameless.
Be shameless. I can guarantee you, despite the ups and the downs, once it's all done, it'll make you smile.
Welcome to our very, very first ever podcast here in Dubai, here in a studio which is world-renowned. From my side, maybe we should start with the introductions. I am an entrepreneur. I've been in business for about 25 years in different capacities. Right now, I'm the business development director for a company called Brave, which I'm a proud member of. And I'm very grateful again. I'm still in this gratitude phase that I can be here with my CEO.
And what's your name?
And my name is Christian. Not to forget. So right now we're doing something new.
Yes, we are. We are.
And I'm very excited to be part of that. Really.
I'm a little bit excited, a little bit nervous. Mm. I have been in studios like this before when I was at Apple. So hey, everyone, if you're watching. My hope is that any of our first viewers or listeners of this already know who I or we are. My name's Ben. I'm founder and CEO of Brave.
I was just going to ask you, what's your name?
What's my name? My name is Ben. Co-founder and CEO of Brave. I'll tell you more about Brave in a short while. But yeah, in short, we are an AI video translation organization. Our startup has shifted dramatically over the years, and I'll probably get into a position where I'll talk about that story shortly. But yeah, as Christian says, we're here in Dubai because one thing you didn't mention as well. So, you know, Brave is based in Australia, in Sydney, but you're living in
Peru, of all places.
Of all places. So it's making time zones really interesting. But the reason that obviously we've made this work is because Brave is a translation company at its core. I speak but one language, so it only made sense to bring on board someone who speaks as many languages as you, which is six?
Seven? Yeah, something like that.
Six or seven.
I forget. One language, just the language of love. But yeah, which brings me to maybe the deeper question as to why really are we here? What is the, in your view at least, what is the goal or the deep reason, if there is one?
Without context, that's a very deep question. You know, why are we here? I don't know. It all started with the Big Bang. We are all made of stardust.
Not that far away.
But if we wanted to be, if we're talking about why are we here, in a podcast studio in the middle of Dubai?
What brings us here? Gist of the question?
Yeah, of course. So look, firstly, we're using this to get some professional video of something we'll be announcing. Very, very soon, if not already, depending on when we release this podcast. But we did want to, as part of what we're building at Brave, to start a podcast. The name of the podcast is, and yes, Steve Bartlett, I'm going to reach out to you and ask for your official permission. But before we do that, I will just go ahead and say, yeah, we've just stolen the idea of a Diary of a CEO. Now, the Diary of a CEO is a phenomenal podcast, very successful, and we'll never know if we'll get to that range or that scale. But what I found from that is, it's fascinating, but The reality is, if you are interviewing CEOs and already well-established businessmen, entrepreneurs, you get one side of the picture. And it really, with me now in the depths, almost 2 years as a first-time founder, I realized, actually, we probably do need to have the diary of a founder.
Diary of the founder.
The diary of the founder. Yeah. Because the reality is that, you know, it's not all glitz and glamour. It's more so it's grit and grind. You know, you're going to be bruised along the way. It's going to be it's going to be trials and tribulations, ups and downs. It's not pretty. Yeah. And I feel like there's a space in this market to be able to tell that story. Mm. So we're here today as the pilot for this to kind of tell my story about what I've gone through as a first-time founder, what I've experienced, what I've learnt. But the goal is that over time, we will use this format to interview a number of founders, both from Australia, obviously where I'm based, but the hope obviously as well, especially with your multitude of linguistic skills, be able to interview founders in other languages. And the beautiful thing about this is that that then marries in very beautifully with what we're building at Brave, which is tearing down language barriers. You know, there are voices of founders, whether they're Spanish, French, Portuguese, I'm just naming a whole bunch of languages you speak, that their voices may never be heard, at least not by, you know, the English-speaking cultures. And we want to make their voice, you know, available for anyone. Mm. And that's really the purpose of this podcast, to try and get the voice of the founders that are on the ground with their stories, their real grit stories, and from those whose voice may never, in other scenarios, be heard. So that's why we're here today.
I think we've touched already on several aspects of this pilot episode of Diary of a Founder, or of the founder, of a founder.
I think we'll, just like any startup, we'll probably figure it out as we're on the journey.
Yeah. That brings me, at least logically, to the next point. We are in sync with one of the greatest events.
Yes.
Here in Dubai, at the moment, still ongoing.
Mm.
First of all, let's name the event, which is Jitex or Jitex.
We don't know. Is it Jitex or Jitex?
Which one it is, exactly. Can you share maybe a couple of thoughts and feelings about that, like what you've seen, what are your first impressions? Because the first impressions are always the ones that mark you.
Yes, for me, you know, the experience we've had. So Jitex conference, we came primarily for that. We've obviously got an itinerary around that, including a podcast. And the goal for us visiting this expo, the largest tech, AI, startup, investor expo in the world. And it lived up to that name, to the point that first day that we were in the first section by the Trade Center, we got so lost, we couldn't even find the exit.
Yeah. Completely.
It is eye-opening to me as a founder from Australia, which is, you know, by default, can be so isolated from the rest of the world. Jitex as an expo, or Jitex, has been a very interesting experience. I think for Australian founders, I would highly recommend coming over just to check it out, whether it's the expo or just Dubai itself. It seems like the startup community here is thriving. There's a lot of capital, by the looks of it, a lot of very eager investors to invest in the new big thing. And the other thing that kind of we've learned is it's very easy, seemingly. Maybe there's an update that can come later, very shortly, on how easy it is to get a business set up here. And that's really the core of all of the things that I wanted to learn from coming here as well, was whilst we haven't gone through the motions yet, I mean, it does seem like it's highly accessible. And, you know, like, I think if you are an aspiring founder, or an established founder, this is a great place to consider setting up, you know, an entity. You know, you might want to keep your home base in Australia. We certainly will. We love the scene there. And I've got so many very, very good founder friends from Australia, but Dubai, wow. Been a wild experience so far. So may it continue.
I'm just curious, what enticed you to thinking about setting up here? What are the advantages, if you could name a few, or are there any?
Well, I don't know how kosher it is to go through all of them, but I mean, there's obviously tax benefits. Yeah. There's financial benefits. We're a global organization inherently. Mm. You know, we're based in Australia, but our customer base is global. We've got customers from all over the world, and I mean like all over the world. And one of the challenges, especially as a young startup, where you don't necessarily have the funds to support managing the financial elements, or the discrete financial elements, such as accepting different currencies. We currently have our customers, they can pay in Australian dollar, US dollar, and also Brazilian real, because who knew? Yeah. The Brazilians love themselves some video translation. So we've done a lot of work supporting Brazilian Portuguese as one example. But when you're managing all these different currencies, it can be quite challenging from an Australian perspective. And certainly in Dubai, certainly with the banking system here, it seems to be far more accessible to be able to accept these currencies without exorbitant fees and everything else in between. So that's certainly one benefit. The other benefit is there are tax implications, both from a personal and a company perspective. I'll just leave it at that. as a young startup, however, you do need to consider these things, right? Because every penny saved is potentially a dollar earned. I might coin that.
How about the connectivity? So you mentioned several times, I mean, I've been to Australia. It's a far away corner in that sense.
Yeah.
Do you feel sometimes it's better to be in a hub where, you know, it can be, you're more connected to the rest of the globe?
Yes.
And I mean, not just from financially.
Yeah.
But otherwise is.
100%. 100%. Okay.
So that's definitely one angle that is.
If you're building a global SaaS software as a service platform, the connectivity both to your prospective investors and customers, but just to the broader network and community of founders, because we all support each other. It's the reason I wanted to have a Diary of a Founder podcast, is to quite literally demonstrate the support, both mental or technical or otherwise, that founders provide each other, and having that network is so important. So yes, Dubai can provide that. You know, in Australia, we are relatively isolated. Obviously, you're in Peru.
Yeah. Very different scene.
Very different scene. Yeah. But, you know, you're taking care of the Latin America scene for us. And so having a hub that is essentially in the middle to connect both us to each other, but also to our potential customer base or investor base is important. And I think, again, you know, that's why I would say to any aspiring or established Aussie founders, if you've not considered just looking into this, firstly, getting the information you need is extremely accessible, but it does seem like there are a few good perks to help you to scale. So we're gonna embark on that journey, and who knows, there might be some updates down the track on how that's all going.
Absolutely, and which brings me actually, we haven't actually talked about this in detail yet, to the next point, as in, what is Brave?
Yeah.
What is the company, and how do you see, or how have you seen its evolution so far, if you can get into it? So let's start with what is Brave?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, we should probably talk about Brave in a short second. Just mention it. Brave is very different now to what it started off life as. And what it started off life as was essentially a video hosting platform. Think of it similar to like Vimeo, or if you're in marketing, Wistia is another example. Yeah. So for corporate video and marketing, where we wanted to enable multi-language video delivery. So we endeavored to build our own video translation, which is not just, you know, captions or subtitles and translation of that, but actually the full audio dubbing, and be able to make that all accessible through our own video player, which we call Brave Player. And, you know, we built our initial product based off of that, a video hosting platform. And this was based off of significant market research and customer interviews, to the point that we were able to get investment off of the back of the idea and the customer investigation that we'd undergone. You know, we've had customers in marketing who were like, you know, we showed them our proof of concepts and even kind of, you know, brought them on the journey with us as the platform's grown. And, you know, they've been using words like this, like game changing, it's been game changing for us and all this stuff. And so that's where it started. But as we've gotten to the point of releasing the product as it stands in market, which was actually not too long ago, it's, you know, earlier in 2025, what once felt like a huge demand just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what's going on?
Mm.
And so, you know, we've gone back to a lot of these prospective customers and their needs, and turns out they're just the market wasn't there, you mm-hmm. know. And I guess one of the learnings that I've made from that is, you know, you can do as much customer research and customer interviews as you like, but you never truly know, especially if you're face to face with someone. People inherently like to give you what you probably want to hear. So when you show something to someone, and they might darn well be amazed at what they're seeing, you know. It's a phenomenal experience for a new customer. And I've made both customers and also colleagues based off of our initial demos, whereby, you know, quick interview, they're talking to a microphone, and then within 1 minute, show them single click, boom, they're speaking French, they're speaking Spanish, they're speaking Chinese. It's a phenomenal experience.
And it's in their voice.
It's in their voice as well, absolutely. In their voice, in authentic foreign accents as well. But for whatever reason, the market just wasn't there when we came to release it. So we were like, all right, come back to the drawing board. You know, when it comes to doing a startup, you just your first go to market, if it fails, that's as far as I'm concerned, you don't just scrap it in a ball and throw it in the bin.
Has it failed, do you think?
No, it hasn't failed. Ironically, so our customer base right now is a very solid mix of YouTube creators, we're going to get to that very shortly, and marketers, predominantly in an education sense. Mm-hmm. So I won't drop any names, but, you know, we've got a huge eclectic mix of customers that are using our hosting, our translation, our player for their educational courses or for their marketing, you know, in, you know, religious education, animation, Qigong, you know, martial arts. And so has it failed? No, it's not a matter of saying it's failed. It's a matter of we've built something that people want, but not enough people want.
Okay.
So we need to, what the challenge has been and the lesson learned from this is, okay, we've clearly built something that people want. And we have references from people saying that they've searched far and wide. And we were the only platform that had the full video hosting, the intuitive multi-language video player, single click or automated language switching, you know, hyper intuitive and customizable dubbing for, you know, using affordable AI voices or voice cloning and everything else in between. There just wasn't a big enough market. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interrupt. Is it just you think it's because it's not big enough of a market, or is it because not enough people know of it, know of this exists, and know that this is even possible? I mean, my personal experience, when I first, you know, I knew that you were doing this, but I had no idea how it worked. Mm. So as a linguist, when I got on there, and I had so much fun with it, and I started one video in French, and then I had it dubbed into, I think it was Chinese or, you know, Mandarin Chinese, and then Turkish and Ukrainian, and just to hear myself speak in that language. But what also for me was amazing was the editing. So you can have the script, you know, automatically generated, and then you can always change the words if they haven't been picked up correctly, or if there are different words that are, you know, special, or names of places or people. And I love the editing function, because you can go back, take that word out, replace it, or if it's a different way of putting things that you wouldn't necessarily say this way or the other way in a certain language, then you can always edit that. I had so much fun with it. And I personally think it's maybe because of that angle, but I would love to hear your take on it.
Look, I think and it's very easy to make excuses. Like, oh, it didn't work out because of this, right? And very often, and I'm not saying it's the case with Brave at all, because I think based on the initial customer base that we have secured, we have built something that people want. Yeah. We've built something that people have searched high and low for.
Okay.
But to your point, it's like, it's firstly, it's entirely feasible that people don't realize they want or need what we have in terms of the video hosting and everything else. And it's entirely possible. It's just that we haven't found the right go-to-market to reach that particular customer base effectively. And that's that again. You can build. Found a lesson learned right here. You know, you can.
Yeah.
It's finding an idea and doing the market research, customer interviews, and to an extent, even building it. You know, and especially with AI now, building a platform or tech is actually more easy and more accessible than ever. But if you don't have the right go-to-market to access that customer base that has that is in line with the product market fit, which is a very interesting concept that I didn't realize how important it was until we've had this journey. You know, does your product fit a market need? For us, actually, we have found yes, it does. That's why I would never say it's failed. But it's about finding that market. And a lot of the time, to your point, many people don't know that they have this need. They don't realize the benefits of translating video. And what, you know, one of the biggest mix of like almost like mental crises, but also elation from my perspective was when YouTube were like, right, we're bringing out auto dubbing.
Right.
And my initial thought was, oh, we're doomed. We're doomed. And then you see the quality and you're like, okay, we're maybe not doomed. no disrespect because we are a YouTube partner now.
So we're talking about YouTube bringing out their own. Thinking that will doom the whole enterprise
to a degree, you know, and that's so often the easiest path for one's brain to follow. So YouTube now offers auto dubbing for all creators. So that means just like they used to do with captions, they'll automatically dub into X amount of languages. But all that's happened there is they've brought out something that's good, and. But it's actually now making it more clear to a broader spectrum of people in the world that this is something that's important. Just like people may have really not understood the importance of just having subtitles for accessibility. I don't need subtitles, you know? All of my viewers can hear correctly. That's a huge assumption. And subtitles have now become more important than ever, that you actually have startups that are dedicated just to creating the most accessible subtitles possible for videos and translations. And dubbing is going to be the next thing. People were just like, I don't need to have my videos dubbed in other languages. Why do I need that?
Everyone speaks English.
Everyone speaks English, but actually they don't.
They don't.
They
60% of the YouTube subscribers actually don't speak English.
So from my perspective, YouTube's built something and really something that's good. We've built something that's great. And so for us, we realize, and this is kind of a nice little tangent towards where Brave is now, we've realized, and we've actually had this validated by both enterprises, and I definitely won't drop names. I would love to, but I can't. By enterprises and YouTube creators, both you know, up-and-coming creators and highly successful ones, that they want a tool that will enable them to distinguish themselves from those that have access to good YouTube's auto-dubbing, and they want and need something that's great. Furthermore, they need something that is not just going to translate the audio of their videos in multiple languages, but they want the titles and descriptions to be generated, to be translated. They want to have all of that metadata with the timestamps generated, thumbnails, and they want that in a form that doesn't hinder their existing workflow, that actually speeds up their workflow. And so that's where Brave is now. Brave is now becoming a vital AI automation tool for creators to streamline their workflows and to help them reach new audiences using great video localization that encompasses every element of the video, not just the audio. Yeah. Very soon, the lip movements and a few others. And then with Brave, you can auto-publish and track everything as well. So not only are we providing these tools to help these YouTubers reach their new audiences and to actually distinguish themselves from the good to the great, but we're actually then providing a solution that helps to streamline that workflow as well. They no longer have to upload here and download there and then upload to YouTube or whatever, whatever. It's just all-encompassing in Brave. They get everything they need, and then they can auto-publish. And that can either be to their single channel, or if they are following what is still a very widely recommended strategy, having localized channels. So, you know, Brave, we have Brave. We have Brave en Español, Brave en Portugués. We're going to have Brave Japan. Having those strategies, which we support from our publishing perspective, is actually hyper beneficial, because that then enables these creators to have a more localized experience when engaging with their audiences as well. Not just the videos themselves, but actually responding to comments, localized posts to update their community. So full community engagement in any language. And that's the eventual vision for Brave, is that we want to take not just the video and the metadata translation and publishing, but we want to help automate the process of engaging with community as well in any language. So it was a very, very 20-minute what Brave is.
Yeah.
Video hosting. And now we are inherently a tool for creators to just scale exponentially through language.
How about the layperson, though? Will they be able to use to play the Brave platform, do you think? Like anybody who just registers?
We've built Brave with the ethos, and this comes from my background working at Apple, that it needs to be both, it needs to be accessible both in terms of ease of use. Mm-hmm. You know, user interface, user experience for me is just to my heart, my core, but also making it affordable as well. So, you know, whilst we do have high quality premium options for both our dubbing and also soon our lip synchronization, we also have more affordable options that, you know, for even just $12 a month, you can use all of our AI voices in a far grander number of languages than YouTube currently supports. You'll still be able to get access to the lip synchronization tool, which we have. Again, we have a standard and a premium quality, so an affordable and a premium quality, to make it as accessible as possible. Because we have educators that have hundreds of hours of content that they want to be able to make accessible to new audiences. And, you know, for those up and coming educators, that the premium options may just be too expensive for them. Okay. So we need to make it as accessible as possible.
But anyone can access.
Anyone can access it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not just for creators in that sense.
Oh. I mean, I would urge anyone, if you haven't experienced AI dubbing, especially the lip synchronization stuff, just give it a go. It's so much fun, as you said.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
What I was driving.
Yeah. Oh, no. Sign up, everyone. Obviously, the goal for all of us is in this, where we're at right now, is to reach the right audiences. And, we are working with a number of YouTube creators. But honestly, yeah, if you're a founder and you have, you know, a promo video on your homepage to kind of show off what you're building and whatnot. If you don't have that video in multiple languages by default, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
you're missing out.
If you have a 1-minute promo video, and I've spoken to a number of founders about this, if you have a 1-minute promo video and you want that in 5 languages, sign up for Brave for free. You'll be able to get that translated and dubbed into 5 languages, hosted on Brave Play. You don't have to pay a penny. All right. So it's just a no brainer. It's a no brainer.
So, but I just want to step back, one step back here with regard to the founder aspect of this. What are your takeaways so far? Because you started this, it was your initiative in 2024. So, a year and a half, almost 2 years now.
Almost
maybe,
2 years.
Maybe a bit before that, you were already working on it.
There's always ideas.
Yeah. So what are your, boil down very briefly your takeaways for founders. Mm. What have you learned?
Look, my takeaways, again, the reason for the podcast that we'll hopefully have a full series is so that not only can I share my insights, but also get other founder insights. But my learnings from all of this is it's a journey, and no journey is a straight path, right? So we need to be able to adjust, meld and merge with where the path takes us. And if the original path was in one direction and we realize that direction is not going to be of benefit to us, we need to take that second path, okay? So you can't be steadfast in one view and go, this is the strategy. If you're not flexible,
so flexibility is one of the...
Flexibility, being open to new ideas, and being open to listening to what the market is telling you.
Okay. So have an ear for the market, for the customer.
You need to always be talking to
always, the customer. Always be talking to
always the talking to the customer.
Be on the ground.
And also, and I mean this sincerely, have a mental health routine or regime. It's an up and down journey. It's not just left and right. It's up and it's down.
That's
and
key.
So, having a mental health regime is going to be key to, I wouldn't say your success necessarily, hopefully, but certainly to your survival or your longevity. So that's important.
And the creative process as well, because what you're doing is very creative. Yeah,
exactly. So, and it's very easy to get bogged down in the detail.
So maintain the overall...
Taking a step back once in a while. This is why this trip to Dubai has been quite helpful, because I've been able to step away from the code, from the UI design, from the finances, from the admin, to try and take a step back and see things a bit more from the bird's eye view. And that's important as well.
Kind of wrapping up here.
Mm.
How do you see the future? Brave's future? AI, it's a big topic, I know. But, maybe tie it in with what will be the impact of Brave and how do you see it going forward?
Yeah, I'm going to try not to get too altruistic in this, just because, it's very easy to talk about the broad altruistic view on what anyone's building and the impact. But I truly believe that some of the benefits that will come out of AI and how we're leveraging AI is, building a more connected world. Languages should no longer be a barrier. You're seeing this with Apple, with Meta doing live translations. Google now is offering live translation in their meeting and their virtual conference meetings. These are core benefits that AI can bring. Mm-hmm. And even bringing in our lip synchronization technology, we've been extremely thoughtful in how we want to implement this because AI can bring out the worst as well. Yeah. We've got people using this technology for deep fakes to scam people. Yeah. There's this concept of AI slop, which is just like trash videos that look real, but they're made by AI. And so it comes with its pros and cons. And I think where there's going to be a bunch of AI slop, we need to be responsible for bringing a positive change through AI. And that's where I see us fitting. Are we there yet? No. But this is a journey, as I said. And so if there was an A to B type journey, B is, we want to make that positive impact. And we want to use this journey to figure out how.
So the impact would be also felt in places where you wouldn't even think it could happen. Is that part of the game?
Of course. Look, if there's ever something that I would love to, walk away from this knowing that I've done, it's that I've made a positive impact in some way that has global reach.
Okay. And what's your, if somebody is thinking of, starting now as a founder, starting something like this, what's your two sentence recommendation?
Oh, wow. Don't be scared. Don't allow doubt to stop you. And for all of my Antler folks out there, and they'll know who they are, be shameless.
Be shameless.
Be shameless.
Which would translate as
get out your comfort zone.
Get out your comfort zone.
Okay. Do things you wouldn't otherwise do, because in order to survive, you'll have to. But I can guarantee you, despite the ups and the downs, once it's all done, it'll make you smile.
Well, I think we'll conclude on that note. Thank you very much again for taking the time being here.
Thank you, mate.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And, well, follow us. Click here and there on subscribe.
We'll figure that out.
And check out Brave if you want good translation quality, you know, dubbing, and also for creators.
Yeah.
If you want to go more viral, reach more people. And hopefully then it's not our last time here or on a podcast.
There'll be many more.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
So thank you again, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Christian. This has been fun.
Thank you, Ben.
Much love.